Welcome to episode 44 of Autograph Weekly. I agree with you, Zane.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage and Double S with Autograph Weekly.
Welcome, Autograph Addicts. I'm Zane Savage.
And I'm Stacey Schaefer.
And you're listening to Autograph Weekly, feeding your brain with knowledge and news every week until Big Bird is off the endangered species list. Guys, we have a little thing called AW Extra we do before this podcast. And it's over at youtube.com/autographweekly. You can watch that at 4 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time every Sunday. That's where we talk about personal stuff, personal autographs we got in. This podcast is more of a generic overview of autographs. We want to include everybody in the podcast show. So AW Extra is kind of a place for us to rant about ourselves. Moving on, you may notice that it's just me and Stacy today. We are going old school with this show. Stacy, start us off with the news.
All right, guys. My first news story is a news story about a Charles Dickens letter that was found that actually just recently sold at auction. This was an unknown letter written by Charles Dickens. It sold for £7,400, which is more than double the figure that they expected to fetch at the auction. This letter was actually found tucked between the pages of a small paperback Bible in Blockley after a spring clean, was only expected to reach about £3,000. So pretty nice find there, and like I said, they made twice as much as they thought they were going to, and it actually ended up going to a private collector in Canada who specializes in Dickens memorabilia.
Very cool. We have a lot of cool news stories about finds this week, and my news story, my first one, is actually about James Dean and his last autograph. Everybody knows James Dean died in a car crash in 1955, and the last signature he ever signed was actually a ticket. And this great article talks about that entire experience. There's actually a documentary that kind of recapped the last moments of James Dean's life. And he got a ticket for speeding, obviously, because he was kind of known as a speedster. He liked to race cars and stuff. And Kern County is where this happened at, and this guy gave James Dean the ticket, and James Dean obviously signed the ticket, and then moments after, James Dean actually crashed and passed away. So this is now like one of the biggest pieces of Hollywood memorabilia, and this article is actually coming out of Kern County, and they say it was written here. The ticket, his last signature, was written here in Kern County. So very sad story, obviously. It happened in 1955, and James Dean's one of the most iconic people in Hollywood history. So that ticket, I'm not sure where it is. I'm guessing it probably belongs to the Smithsonian or some museum, but it may still be in Kern County. It doesn't say exactly where the ticket is, but I thought that was really interesting, and thought we should bring it to you guys.
It always goes back to the question, if you want to have something that's the first autograph signed by somebody or something that's like their last autograph as well.
Yeah, and a lot of people will say no to that because those first, especially the first autographs, because they don't match up with known signatures from those people, and they're very hard to authenticate. So a lot of people will try to stay away from those. Me, I don't give a crap. And if it's a first signature of somebody or an early signature, I actually like that. I think it adds to the story, but that's just me. All right, Stacy.
All right, my next news story is about the 1972 Miami Dolphins, the only NFL team to have a perfect 17-0 season. These guys, this is pretty cool. These guys all still get along pretty well, and they always get together and do the signing stuff. And there's just an article about a recent signing they did. This was toward the end of September, I believe. Just goes on talking about them all getting together. I believe this one was at Shula's Steakhouse, Don Shula's restaurant, and it was in support of United Way Foundation. So just a cool little piece there. Like I said, it's the only team in NFL history to go undefeated, and these guys are notoriously pretty boisterous about this. So
and Shula actually signed TTM via that steakhouse for a long time. I'm not sure, not for a long time, but I know it was a couple of years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, when he was signing. Haven't seen much from him since TTM, but I know he used to sign there because I got him TTM from the steakhouse.
Yeah, and there's a lot of these guys that are on the 72 Dolphins team that are actually really good TTM signers. Even the craziest one, Mercury Morris, signs fairly decent. Not all the time, but...
Well, my next article is a really good one, guys, and you should go listen or go read it. It's actually written by Mike Schmidt, the Hall of Fame baseball player, and he talks about autographs getting way too hard to read and sloppy. I'm not going to read the article to you. You need to go read it for yourself. We're going to post it on our website at autographweekly.com for you guys to find. We'll also tweet it out and put it on our Facebook page. But it's all, this article is written entirely by him, and he talks about how the players today just really don't appreciate the art of an autograph. And I find this funny, very funny, because Mike Schmidt actually used a secretary from a Hall of Fame address a year ago. It might have been 2 years ago. And if he's so worried about the integrity of an autograph... He writes this article about, you know, the integrity of autograph, and then he does secretarials. Also, somebody got him legitimately TTM about 6 months ago, I believe, and instead of doing his full signature, which he talks about here, that's his whole article is about doing a full signature, nice and neat, so somebody can read it. He literally just did his initials, and it was very sloppy. So I have a hard time reading this article and thinking, okay, this guy actually means what he says. It's a very interesting article, regardless of what you think of Mike Schmidt and his signing habits. It's always nice to get a really nice article written by somebody who is a very sought-after autograph in a major sport. So, guys, definitely go check that out. It'll be up on our website, and like I said, Twitter and Facebook, we'll post it on there. Stacey?
All right, my last news article for this week. This was something I think we had in our rundown a few weeks ago, but we actually didn't put in the show. This is a piece about some stuff that belonged to a Nazi propaganda minister, Joseph Goebbels, I believe is how you say the name. They actually found a bunch of love letters, other letters, signatures, stuff that he, correspondence that he wrote to other people, and it was actually up at this auction, and they were asking for an opening bid of $200,000, but it did not sell. And they were going to there was some other stuff at this auction that sold. There was a Marilyn Monroe skirt that sold for like $1.2 million, some ruby slippers from the Wizard of Oz, twice what the archive had listed for them. So I just wanted to kind of throw this in because there's a picture of all this stuff from this guy that they had up at this auction. I mean, there's just tons of correspondence and. Which kind of surprised me. It's a steep price, but it kind of surprised me that somebody, some history person, didn't grab this stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Well, my last news article is about the book In Cold Blood by Truman Capote. Tom Avril, author and English professor, had an antiques roadshow moment when he laid eyes on the first edition copy of In Cold Blood. The volume had the autograph of author Truman Capote, who traveled to Kansas to research the brutal slayings of the four members of the Clutter family in November 1959. Capote's autograph was a good sign, but it also had the signatures of six Kansas Bureau of Investigation agents and administrators tied to the apprehension of the killers Richard Hickok and Perry Smith. The six are Logan Sanford and Roy Dyer. Basically, this is the ultimate signed copy of In Cold Blood by Truman Capote. First edition, signed by the author, and signed by several people talked about in the book. So that is an amazing piece found. As a book collector, I salivate over this. And I love reading stories like this because it gives me hope that these little gems are hidden throughout America. And maybe one day I can find one. So
I'm sure that's probably... Capote's probably in your, top five books to get?
Yeah, Capote, I'd really love to have a Capote. And they're out there, you just have to search, and Capote is pretty sought after. You know, authors, when it comes to signed books, are a lot harder to get than a celebrity, because when it comes to celebrities and signed books, a lot of people don't think to get a signed book by a celebrity. You know, if you want a Michael Jordan autograph, you're not going to be like, I wonder what signed books are by Jordan. You're going to say, I want an 8x10, or I want a basketball. But when it comes to authors, your mind automatically goes to books. Therefore, people are looking for signed books because that's what they expect. Therefore, the price automatically goes up for authors, for the most part, especially on rare authors who have passed away. But we'll get into books later on. There's a good segment where we're going to talk about books.
Hey, Neri has a good point in the chat room about your Mike Schmidt article.
He's a what'd he say?
That maybe it was Schmidt's secretary that wrote that article.
Maybe, man. Maybe. All right, let's go ahead and move on to Web Deal of the Week. Stacey, what you got?
All right, we got another Web Deal of the Week, and this time it's coming from FYE once again, and this just got posted, I believe, last week on there. It's actually a Blake Shelton signed CD. It's his Christmas CD. I think that just released, I think, on October 2nd, and they are selling that for $12.99, and when you purchase that, you get a signed CD sleeve with that. So once again, that's at FYE. Just go to their FYE.com, and they have a specials link you can click on and find it there. And just a heads with the FYE stuff, what they'll do is I'll send you the – you'll get the CD probably within the week, but then they send the signed sleeve usually 5 to 6 weeks from when you get the actual CD. So,
somebody in chat said quoted me as saying it's hard to get books signed by celebrities. That's not what I said. I said people don't search for books signed by celebrities. When they want a celebrity's autograph, they automatically go to photos. So that's why – it's easier to find a gem when it comes to celebrities compared to authors. So I just wanted to correct myself if I came off wrong in the podcast. Let's go ahead and move on to the AW Hot List. This week we had some interesting choices. David Zayas from Dexter is signing again. It took people a while to get him back, I think over half a year. So get him while he's hot and try to get him before he stops signing. Next, we have Sarah Wayne Callies, who's actually signing at the set address, I believe. So she's really hard to get TTM unless you send to the set address, and a lot of people got her back from the set address this week.
She has been signing some from the agency too. That's just I think she does that maybe once a year. She gets caught up.
Very sparse, but your best bet is the set address. And do you know when the last date for the set address is? It's in November, I think.
I guess mid-November. Like the first week or November, but I think they're pretty much done with shooting. They've probably got some post-production stuff to do. So
you might hold off on sending your
items. It's kind of a risk, I think, to send stuff to the set.
Yeah, because it could get lost. When you send to a set, you're always risking. So just a heads up on that. And number one is Barbara Eden, and a lot of you are saying, well, Barbara Eden's a pretty good signer anyway. Well, she is on. She is doing a show now. And you can get her via Venue, and she's signing very well via that. So get her while she's hot. And that is the list. Again, that is David Zayas, Sarah Wayne Callies, and Barbara Eden. Let's move on to TTM and Graph of the Week. Last week, we had Brandon Price with an Arnold Palmer signed flag TTM. And no, it's not an auto pen. We checked. Trust us. And he went up against Rodney Gorham with a Grace playbill that was signed by Ed Asner and Paul Rudd. And the winner was Brandon Price with the Arnold Palmer signed flag, 60% to 40%. This week we have Top Shelf TTMs with a Sandy Koufax TTM return. You guys know how rare those are if you've been in the autograph hobby. Koufax is one of everybody's white whale. You have to, first off, get him to open the letter. He RTSs a lot of stuff. And if you get him to open the letter, you have to write a really good letter for him to sign anything for you. So it's a pretty big accomplishment. He's going up against Manda Panda from Facebook. She got Melissa McBride. I believe it was on an 8x10. And Melissa actually got a lot of people to sign the 8x10 instead of just her, including Steven Yeun, Laura Cohan, Emily Kinney, and the new girl, what's her name?
Denai. Is how you say it, Guerrera, something like that. So she's Michonne.
That's a really great piece, so a pretty good battle going on this week, and the keyword is brains. The keyword is brains. All right, Stacey, what's up for a graph of the week?
All right, the battle was between Robert Dorfman, who had a Dwayne Wade IP, and Russell Lee with a USA Gymnastics in person. And the winner was Russell Lee with the USA Gymnastics piece. He won 61% to 39%. So congrats, Russell. This week we have got Neri Lamas with his Walking Dead premiere from the season 3 premiere, the IP, the cast. He got several pieces. I think the season 3 piece he got was signed by everybody involved in the show besides two people, which is pretty impressive. And Trey Jones with a Tony La Russa and Larry Walker dual signed book he got for $2. So,
and Larry Walker's a known terrible signer, so to get a Larry Walker for that price is crazy awesome. So I'm not a Cardinal fan by any means. I'm a Cubby fan, but I'm still jealous of that piece. Guys, keep those submissions coming into us on Facebook. Remember, if you get a great autograph for a great price, or get a great TTM, or have a great IP event, tell us about it, and you can win Graph of the Week or TTM of the Week, and move on to Graph of the Month, which moves on to Graph of the Year. So, speaking of Graph of the Month, we were actually going to do this last week, but we didn't record due to internet issues. Graph of the Week, or Graph of the Month, is this week. So go vote on autographweekly.com. Stacey, if you want to roll down the list of who's up for grabs on Graph of the Month.
Alrighty, here we go. The first nominee is Michael Macholtz with a Stan Musial TTM. Up next, Robert Dorfman with his Jay-Z signed book he got for $2. Eric Larson with a Willie Nelson TTM. Russell Lee with a Molly Ringwald in person. Top Shelf TTMs with a Vin Scully in person. Alex Joritz with a Martin Landau IP. Ryan Patrick with his Christopher Plummer TTM. And Russell Lee with a Hall & Oates in person.
Remember, guys, just go to autographweekly.com. You can vote for all that stuff. It's right there on the front page. You can't miss it. This episode of Autograph Weekly is brought to you by Rackers.com. That's RACKRS.com. Rackers produces custom trading cards for baseball, basketball, football, hockey, wrestling, and even movie cards. These sleek, matte-finished trading cards have been created for the autograph collector. Whether you write TTM or Graph IP, Rackers are a great upgrade from those boring index cards. For IPers, be prepared for any celebrity you may run into. Purchase a pack of Rackers cards and use the promo code AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY, that's one word, AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY, to receive a free sample pack with purchase. That's Rackers.com, RACKRS.com. We do have a few voicemail feedback questions to go over this week. Here's the first one.
What's up, boys? Hey, great show as always. My quick question is from the Andy from the Boston area. Do you guys ever find yourself completely just burnt out? Like, you just don't feel like sending anything. You're just kind of staring at what needs to go out, but you just go, you know what, I've done enough. I can't do anymore. I need to take a breather. And if you have taken a breather, how long have you taken? Have you taken a couple weeks, month, day? What's the longest period in between when you send out something and so forth? All right, great. Thanks, boys.
This is very common. I mean, with any hobby you do, you're going to get burnt out eventually. But as we always say, being part of a community motivates you to get burnt out less. It's going to happen. I mean, it's inevitable. But, you know, whenever it happens, maybe you don't write for a month or two as many as you did before. Usually, personally for me, whenever I go through a burnout or where I get a little bit burnt out on the hobby, I'll just kind of lower my TTMs a little bit, my number, and just kind of take it easy. I've been doing that for the past month or so. Actually, past 2 months or so. After the TTM Fantasy League, we went crazy. I really kind of lowered my stuff. I wasn't burnt out, per se, but I think do what suits yourself. But like I said, a community kind of keeps you accountable to keep the TTMs coming in. Because to be part of that community, you feel like, well, I need to send stuff out, I need to do videos, I need to talk about it on forums. Therefore, it kind of pushes you to keep collecting. So, like I said, it happens to everybody, but it's kind of handle it as it comes along. There's not one answer for everybody. It's like, well, everybody should take a month off, or everybody should take 2 months off. It's going to differ for everybody, you know. But You got any thoughts on that, Stacey?
I think on my front, I don't think I ever get to the point where I'm burned out, where I don't send anything. I think my biggest challenge, being as I've done this for so long, my burnout comes from trying to find new people to write to, so I'm not constantly writing to the same people all the time. I mean, I've gotten in that bad habit the last couple months where I've written to the same people quite a bit, but I've just had stuff I've dug through and found that to make dual or triple signed pieces, I need to send to them again. But that's my biggest challenge, and that's probably what causes me to get to the point where I'm burned out, is just trying to find new people to write to. And like Zane said, that's the good thing about the community, is watching videos, reading forum posts, getting some new ideas from people, keeping projects going.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to the second voicemail question.
Hey guys, how's it going? Sammy Feynman calling you from Okinawa, Japan again. I'm actually curious now. I just watched The Avengers yesterday, and I thought it was really awesome, and I started thinking about collecting movie autographs. And I just wanted your take on basically maybe the one movie that was from this year that was really good, where you had a chance to possibly get all the autographs. I know a lot of these companies sometimes do like certified autographs. Which of the movies that you've watched this year that are really popular, which ones do you think have, like, you would have the best chance of getting the entire cast? And also, which ones, if you had enough money, do you think you could actually purchase the certified autographs? Take it easy, guys. Really like the show. Last time I forgot to plug my TV show. It's Sammy on the Street. That's Sammy with one M. If you search for it on YouTube, it's for MCCS TV. I work for the Marine Corps in Okinawa, Japan. And it's a really funny show. If you ever get a chance, type it in. Sammy on the Street. Sammy on the Street. Thanks, guys. Bye.
And actually, Sammy, I did check out your channel, and you are awesome on the mic. Definitely go check out his channel, guys. He's a great guy. Movie autographs. Well, this is a pickle, because you're going to want something that has a set. If you want to kind of complete the entire cast, there's a lot of people in a cast. And definitely whenever a movie has a card set out with certified autographs, that makes it a lot easier to just purchase the autographs. You know they're authentic. But the problem is most of those are comic book movies that actually have card sets out, and those tend to be really expensive and have really big stars in them. And like Robert Downing Jr., let's say The Avengers, a Robert Downing Jr. Signed card is going to be really expensive and really rare. The big stars don't sign a lot of those. So personally, I think you should probably look at TV shows. Right off the bat, Heroes, nice cheap set, great characters, and you could get a lot of them. I'm assuming you're wanting to do like a matte piece, which always looks awesome. There's some guys on Star Tiger that actually are really good at making these giant matte pieces. And you think giant as like maybe a little bit bigger than 8x10? No, my friend. I'm talking like take up half of a wall giant. These are huge projects. So Heroes comes to mind. That'd be a great one because there is a card set for that. Lost is another great one. A card set for that. TTM wise on Lost maybe a little bit rough, but on Heroes definitely you can get some people TTM. There's a lot of people that sign. And the one that comes to mind that's still airing would be Dexter. Dexter has great signers in the cast, and they have card sets out. So those are the three that automatically pop into my mind. On movies, like I said, if they're going to make a card set of a movie, it's going to be something to do with a superhero, because, you know, card collectors tend to be a little bit nerdy. You know, let's just go ahead and be honest there. And when it comes to what they want superheroes and comic stuff, so that's why those sets tend to be that way. I looked into it, and I couldn't find a movie that came out this year other than The Avengers that had a card set. If anybody knows of one in chat, go ahead and put it, and I'll bring it up. The 4400 TV show also had a card set.
The movie I would think of that has had some decent TTM success rate, although probably the main star of the movie, her stuff, is kind of iffy, is The Hunger Games, because there's a lot of the district people that do a lot of signing TTM. So
right.
Any kind of movie project, especially if you're looking the TTM-wise, it's going to be tough to complete no matter what it is.
Because usually they have that one or two big stars, and they're always going to be tough. You know, unless they're a known great TTM signer, which there aren't many out there of the big stars. Also, TTM Central brought this up in chat. The Walking Dead. I don't know how I missed that one. They also have a sign set. And the Walking Dead signers are great TTM. So that would be a really nice mat piece to work on. Somebody said Harry Potter, but the problem with that is most of those people live overseas, and some people aren't comfortable with doing overseas TTMing. So hopefully that gives you some ideas of what project you can work on. So hopefully we helped you out on that. Let's go ahead and move on to the last and final voicemail question.
Yes, my name is John, and I've called before, and you answered my question about, I think it had to do with websites that that sell books cheaply. But my question today is, recently I've made the decision to try and sell two signed books, one by Al Gore and the other by Rudy Giuliani, on eBay. Both were straight signatures, not personalized. However, I later changed my mind when I checked the completed listings for both these books and found that none of them had recently sold. Some had an overpriced starting bid and would never have sold anyway, but others were being offered for under the original cost of the book, and there were still no takers. Now, I know we love to collect autographs because it provides us with a connection to people that we admire. However, at the same time, I realize that we also would like to think that each item that we collect has some value that we can cash in on at some point if we choose to do so. So my question is this: do you really think that signed books are worth collecting from an earnings potential standpoint? I really would appreciate hearing what you have to say about this topic. Thanks.
I freaking love this question. You know, I've done books for a good year now, and the reason I collect them is specifically the reason you brought up here. They don't cost a lot of money, and you can usually find them for a ridiculously low price. So buying them is awesome, you know? An Al Gore signed 8x10 might cost you $50, but if you want a signed book, if you look hard enough, you can easily find one for $15. I guarantee I can find one for $15 right now. And that's the reason I collect signed books. I love autographs. I don't care what they're on. I love autographs. And if I can get them for, you know, a fourth of the price that I would normally pay for it, I'm going to do that. So, on that front, it's great for the buyer. On the selling end, it gets difficult because you're trying to sell a book, and usually what you're talking about is Al Gore. You know, again, we talked about this earlier. You would want Al Gore on an 8x10, not a book, so people don't search for books. Therefore, the books don't sell as well as the 8x10s. It's rough. One option you can do, and I don't do this. Like I said, I keep most of my autographs. I only sell duplicates, and if I sell a duplicate, then I'm just going to keep it in the book. But if you're looking to profit or make a little bit of profit to put it back in the hobby or whatever by selling a book, what you could do is cut out the signature and create a matte piece, because anything you can display is automatically going to sell for more than something that you just sit on a shelf. That's the reason the person gets the autograph, is to put it on their wall or show it to friends. So once you create a matte piece, you give somebody something that you know, is unique. It's not just an 8x10. I think matte pieces look a little nicer than an 8x10. Some 8x10s are pretty cool, I'm not going to lie. But that is a route you can go. Also, you could get it certified. That's going to cost you a little bit more money, but it will boost the price. Now, some stuff's not worth certifying. You're going to have to do your research. Do your research and figure out which ones will be worth doing that. So that's a couple routes you can go. Another route, when it comes to books, the celebrities are always going to be selling a lot less than 8x10, like I said. But the authors will sell, obviously, at the top of... Let's say you have a cut signature of Zane Grey, a very famous Western author. That's going to sell less than a signed book from Zane Grey because he's an author. That's what he's known for. That's what people want. They read his books, therefore they're going to want to buy a signed book. So when it comes to authors, your stuff should sell fine. Now, I'm talking about people who have passed away, not New York Times best-selling authors, because they sign a ton of stuff nowadays. And basically, all those modern-day autographs are almost worthless when it comes to authors because they sign so much and they have so many book signings. But I love books, and it's so interesting the way it works. Like I said, I got into it because of the low prices, but I do find them very classy, and I don't regret at all getting into it. I have a library of over 700 books now, and storage is rough, I'm not going to lie. You got to have a lot of room to put the books, but monetarily, you can make it work. You just got to work a little bit harder and kind of hold out for that specialty market. I do not recommend, by the way, putting a book on eBay just as a straight-up auction for 99 cents and seeing where it goes. When you sell a book, it's been my experience that a buy-it-now price is always best, because that basically leaves your auction up there for that specialty buyer. You know, if you put an auction up for 3 days and started at 99 cents, not many people are going to see that. And the person that's actually waiting for that book and trying to find that book may not see it in that 3 day span. But if you put up a 30 day auction, buy it now, that gives that person 30 days to maybe have their automatic eBay search pull it up and find that book. So you're more likely to sell it at a higher price. Plus, you can adjust the price to whatever you want. I always do best offers, so that gives them a little leeway. But you know, like I said, it's one of those tricky subjects, and I love books. I'm so happy I got into it. And if you have any more questions, just shoot me a message on Facebook. I'd be glad to answer it. So, say you got anything to add to that. I know you're not as obsessed as I am.
You pretty much covered it all there. I said I've never really sold books on eBay, so I can't really go that route. And you're the master at finding the books. So.
I am the book king. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to the Facebook feedback.
All right. First question coming from Kyle Val. He's asking, if money was no issue and you could make one autograph purchase, who and why?
Richard Feynman. He's my answer to all these kinds of questions. So
mine's the same thing. It's going to be Steve Jobs as well.
Okay. Yeah. So we answer questions kind of like that every other show. And they're usually the same answer. So, next question.
All right, this one's a Michael McColes asking Zane, better purchase, your recent Mickey Mantle purchase or your Stephen Hawking?
Stephen Hawking, no question. Mantle signed a ton of stuff. So, there's a lot of Mantles out there. The Hawking, there are literally, I've only seen about 6 or 7 Hawking signatures on the internet. So the rarity of that alone just blows the Mantles out of the water. If you don't know, I bought 3 Mickey Mantle signed magazines for $50, and the Hawking, I bought a Stephen Hawking signed book for $25. So that's the deal he's talking about. So yeah, Hawking all the way. Next question.
Alrighty, Thomas John Fitzpatrick, thoughts on Steve Martin and Tim Allen TTMs?
Tim Allen, I believe Tim Allen signatures are authentic. That's my opinion. Not 100%. You can never be 100% unless you see the person sign it. But I believe Tim Allen's are authentic. Steve Martin, secretarial. He just has a way too simple signature now. He's simplified it over the years. It just doesn't match up with his IP stuff. So, and you can go ahead and argue that, oh, well, if you sign IP, it's going to be sloppier. Well, not that sloppy. So that's my opinion on that. You got opinions on those?
I, as always, will agree with you on this one anyway. I believe the Tim Allens are real as well, especially now that he used to sign multiple items, but he's only signing, I think, one thing per person now. So
correct.
That helps lead to the authentic argument. And then Steve Martin's, you're pretty obvious, but that's just my opinion.
As always, when it comes to authenticity, what we do, how we decide if something is authentic or secretarial, we take in evidence, and based on that evidence, we make a decision. There's no one thing that says, okay, this is this way, therefore it has to be authentic, or this is this way, therefore it has to be secretarial. We take all these little clues and put them together, and usually it leans one way, and that's the way we decide. So, anyways, next question.
All right, this one is coming from Michael McHoltz. Once again, he's asking, how do we store sports cards?
The really nice ones in magnetics. I don't collect baseball cards, so I'm always actually low on cases. I'd like to store them all in like top loaders or whatever. I just haven't bought any in years, so I'm just reusing the ones I had as a kid. And all the ones that I can't fit in top loaders, I just put in a a 9-sheet binder. So,
yeah, pretty much mine. Anything that's signed is in a top loader and is in, I think they're 1600 count boxes, and then all my non-signed stuff is just in 5000 count boxes, and I've got about 15 or 16 too many of those. But
oh yeah, non-signed sports cards. I have shoe boxes just like crammed full. Like they're not even stacks. It's just like sports cards go in box.
Yep.
That's it. All right, next question.
All right, this one is AJ Kaiser. He's asking, how did you guys come up with your autograph?
This is a great question because I've actually practiced my autograph since I was like in grade school. And I think when people are in grade school, kids are in grade school, most people do this. You know, they'll write their name out. Funny because mostly girls do it, but I did this a lot in grade school. And in junior high, you know, you're sitting there listening to the lecture. Some people draw doodles. I drew my signature. I had my signature on everything. And, you know, I didn't really collect autographs up until junior high. So, it's part of who I am, I guess. I naturally got into signing my name just when I was bored and listening to a lecture. So, that's how I came up with my signature, you know. Little things got added as I went along to kind of make it more elaborate, I guess, but that's my story. Stacy just changed his signature,
yeah,
a month ago.
Yeah, I have two or three different ones. I don't per se practice them like Zane does, but I've got one that's pretty much just a regular written out signature. Then I've got a couple of different variations. I've got a real quick one that's just pretty sloppy, and then.
Now, just the one that, Stacey, you said I don't still practice my signature. I want to make that clear. I did that okay. In grade school and junior high. You make it sound like every night I'm like sitting with a piece of paper, like, oh yes, I gotta make a variation to my signature. It's gotta be perfect. No, that was back in school when I did that. So just be clear on that. Go ahead. Didn't interrupt.
Yeah, I've got two or three different variations, and Zane always gives me crap about it. So. There's no particular story around how any of them came up. It's just how I started to do them.
Well,
so.
Stacy printed his name as his signature for a long time, and then we sent some promo stuff for Autograph Weekly around to get signed. And when Stacy sent his back, lo and behold, Stacy had a new signature. Like,
I still use the print one probably more than the actual signage. Just my signature is really sloppy, so I usually don't do that unless it's something relatively small, or that's how I sign my checks and crap, is with my real sloppy signature.
Well, you want to make sure it's nice and neat, or Mike Schmidt will get on your case.
The secretary will write an article about me.
Exactly. Next question.
All right, this is Russell Lee. He's asking, would you rather get an IP scribble or a nice TTM signature with the risk of never knowing if it's real?
IP scribble, especially if I'm the one getting the IP. Yeah, definitely IP scribble. You know, I do like a beautiful autograph. It's part of the hobby that I love, is seeing the different kinds of signatures. But knowing that something is real and guessing if something's real, I'll take the knowing something's real every time. Even if I didn't get to meet the person, I'm buying it from a reputable IP dealer. I will take that every time over something TTM that I'm not sure about. Now, if I can match up, you know, definite pieces of evidence for a TTM being legit, I'm usually very happy with that. But, yeah, I'll take IP every day.
Yeah, same here. I'll take the IP over the TTM anytime, just basically for the experience of meeting the person and, you know, it's legit.
Right. Next question.
All right. Josiah Sutton, I believe that's how. He's asking, what is the most you have paid for an autograph?
Ugh. You go ahead and take this one first. I'll think a little bit.
I'm going to say probably in between the $200 and $300 range. I think I've answered this one before. It's back when I used to buy a lot of sports autos, which I don't do a whole lot anymore. But I've bought 8x10s of Brady and Manning, and at the time both of those were pretty expensive, so I'm gonna guess probably somewhere in the $200 to $300 range.
I've spent a lot of money on books. I can't think of one particular one, but I know I've spent $70-$80 on books before. Trying to think of one specific one for you guys. Presidential books. I paid $43 for a Nixon. I just can't think of anything off the top of my head. You guys can probably think of something before I can. But I'm thinking like $80 to bucks, $90, something around there would be what I've spent for the
Zane is brilliant with his money, so he never spends a whole lot on something. He's always finding
true. I mean,
exceptional
deals, because I don't like to spend a lot of money on a great autograph. Now, granted, if I really want an autograph and I really need it for my collection, I will shell out more money than I usually do. But for the most part, when you guys see me get stuff in on YouTube and Facebook, that stuff is bought at ridiculous prices that aren't even close to what the stuff sells for. So I'm very good at holding off and being patient until I can find the right item. So that's why my prices are usually low. That $90 maybe happened once or twice. Like, I don't even come close to that. And you guys know I get some amazing stuff in that's worth way more than $80 or $90. So, next question.
All right, this is coming from Alex Joritz. Is there any special paper or pen you use when writing TTMs?
Yes, actually, that's an awesome question, too, because I've used the same pen for 2 years. It's the Pilot G207. And it's an ink pen, but it's like almost a gel ink. And it looks amazing when you're handwriting stuff. Kind of flows, almost has a fountain pen look to it. And I have horrible handwriting, so anything that can make my letters look better, I definitely use. So again, that's the Pilot G207. They're pretty cheap. They sell them at Walmart. They're not hard to find. You?
Basically, I always use Bic pens. I have no idea what type they are. I'm just notebook paper, loose leaf paper, usually college ruled.
All right, next question.
Somebody was asking how much your Johnny Cash book was that you got.
I was actually writing a note to show them on camera, but if you want to put it in the podcast, I will. $48 is what I paid for the Johnny Cash. So I paid more than that for other books. All right, next question.
All right, the last question is coming from AJ Kaiser. He's asking, what size do you prefer signed for photos, and what do you prefer them signed with?
I obviously, 8x10, I think, would be the best size. I wouldn't say anything bigger than that, unless it's a poster. Anything bigger than that is kind of hard to find a frame for, and takes up a lot of space. If it was a multi-signed item, I would love to have it bigger, because you'd have more room for signatures. But 8x10 is like the ideal photo size. On the pen, I'm guessing that's what you mean when you ask what do we prefer.
I think he had like Sharpie, paint pen.
I don't like paint pen because sometimes it chips. I'm going to go with Sharpie. I don't care on color. I like blue over black because blue looks better. Black or blue. I hate red because red usually blends in badly with black. Also, I hate when people sign on dark areas. But Sharpie usually shows up decently well no matter what, depending on what kind of 8x10 photo you have, matte finish or glossy.
I mean, the pen color, obviously, or Sharpie color, depends on what you're getting signed.
Yeah, but red, I never like red. I mean, I like red if it's got a spot specifically for an autograph. Like an autograph card you would pull in a pack, like they have that specific spot for an autograph. Okay, that stuff looks fine signed in red. But if you're just signing a photo of something, I just don't like red. Looks bad. It really does. I that's all I got on that. You got anything?
As far as the TTM wise, I will say, I mean, 8x10s obviously. There, I mean, 4x6s are the cheapest way to go TTM wise. But I mean, I think 8x10s are the nicest. They're a little more expensive. But as far as like in person stuff, if I'm doing it in person, I'm usually going to try to get the biggest thing I can get signed. But
right,
that's just me.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to Just the Tip. And this is actually my segment this week. If you guys are subscribed to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/autographweekly, you saw that I posted a video about custom index cards. And this is something we've never actually talked about on the show, and I've done for years, ever since I was actually in junior high. So back then, I didn't send photos. Didn't really know how to order them, and you know, it was earlier in the internet days, and there were photo sites, but I just didn't use them. So when I wanted something signed that was not just a plain index card, I would make my own custom index cards. And basically what I'd do, I'd take a little picture, I'd put it up in the corner of Microsoft Word, and I'd add a little box with the person's name and what they're known for, like actor. Or maybe put a character's name, like Spock, you know. So I do that, and if you want to see this in detail, again, just go watch the video on YouTube. But I would print that out on a sheet of paper. Now, once I print it out on a sheet of paper, I match up an index card over that, what just printed out, to make sure it's going to fit on an index card. Once I do that, I tape the index card onto the piece of paper, and I feed it back through the printer and print again. Boom. You have yourself a custom index card. What this is good for, guys, is if you're writing off to somebody, you saw somebody got a success, you know that address is going to be dead within a week. You don't have time to go get photos if you don't have a Costco or something near you. So you need something to send off that day. You can do custom index cards. It's cheap. It doesn't cost you anything but ink, really, because index cards are basically free. And you can send that off that same day. So this can really help collectors looking to get stuff out quickly. Another way I do this, I actually just came up with a blood splatter index card. And it's kind of creepy, and I don't know how people are going to react to it, and they open up their mail, and they have a blood-splattered index card. But they look really cool. I'm gonna use them for The Walking Dead and Dexter. It's, like, perfect for those shows. And, if you want to see those, just go watch the video again. That's youtube.com/autographweekly. If you guys have any questions on that, send me a message. It will convert to most operating systems and most versions of Word. There may be some differences. But when it comes to those little tiny differences, if you would, Google that, because I'm not going to... That's what I'm going to do. If you ask me, well, it's different on my browser. How do I do this when it comes to Microsoft Word and stuff like that? I'm just going to Google it. So if you could, Google that. But if you have any actual questions about autographs and index cards and stuff like that, I'll greatly answer them. So that covers just the tip. Let's go ahead and move on to the weekly giveaway. Last week, we had a Twitter giveaway. And the winner was actually Amy Spore. We asked you guys, what was your first autograph? Use the hashtag #MyFirstAutograph. And Amy Spore is the winner. And she won a plethora of autographs. If you guys want to see the autographs that were up for grabs, just go to Autograph Weekly to see the prizes. Amy, please contact us and we'll get those autographs out to you ASAP. And my favorite giveaway we've done in a while, the voicemail impression contest, where we gave away the best giveaway we've done in a long time. And, I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit of that for you guys. I put together a little mix of all the impersonations of us on the show through this contest.
Welcome to Autograph Weekly, feeding your addiction until people stop asking whether it's better to type or handwrite your letters. I'm Zane Savage.
Yeah, and I'm Stacey Schaefer. Do your research and stay classy.
And you take care, all you autograph addicts.
Gonna slap the book plate in the book and we'll get a book plate bastard. Checkmate bitch.
A impression of Stacey Schaefer. Get it? Because, you know, he was sleeping.
What's going on, YouTube? Boss Odd 797. It's about 4 a.m. Just got home from work a little bit ago. So let's got a mail recap today. I got 3 TTMs and 1 YouTube package. Let's start with the YouTube package. Anthony Angeline, man, you're just blowing me away. This is badass. He sent me all sorts of stuff. It is great. But sorry this video is so long. Alright, the boss is out. Peace.
This is Zane Savage, and you're listening to Autograph Weekly, feeding your autograph addiction until the Kansas City Royals make the playoffs.
What's up, YouTube? Boss Hog 797 here.
I got a 5 TTM mail day, and they're all from the same guy. And he is a legend. They're all coming from Mr. Brian Scalabrini. I'm Zane Savage, and you take care. All of you Zaniacs, and vote Obama.
I love that mix. You guys did a great job. We really appreciate those voicemails. Had a good time with them. And the winner is, drumroll please, Ryan Patrick. Congratulations, Ryan. You have won the plethora of awesome autographs. Please contact us. We'll get that stuff out to you ASAP. This week, guys, we are giving away a Brittany Palmer signed 4x6. A Brittany Palmer signed 4x6. If you want to see a picture of that, it'll be up at our website, autographweekly.com. To win that, all you have to do is post the keyword that was hidden in today's show on Facebook at facebook.com/autographweekly. Post that keyword, you'll automatically be entered to win. Simple as that. Now it's time for one of our newer segments, Give Me Your Autograph. Won't you please sign on the dotted line? Won't you please sign on the dotted line? Hey, 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 give me your autograph. Hey, 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 give me your autograph. Won't you please sign on the dotted line? This week we actually had three people submit autographs to our Give Me Your Autograph wall. We had David Soffin, a.k.a. Big Dog 7499. You can find him at youtube.com/BigDog7499. We had Aaron Magnuson. He actually submitted an autograph for our wall. You can find him at aaronsfanpacks.webs.com or at youtube.com/ASMagnuson. That's ASMANUSON. And we had Alexis Nyan. She could be found at youtube.com/nyanfamily. I'm butchering your name. I'm sorry. I actually tried to watch a video to actually pronounce your name right for this podcast. Obviously, I failed. But I'll go ahead and spell it out for you guys. It's youtube.com/nguyenfamily. That's nguyenfamily. We thank you guys for submitting your autographs to our Give Me Your Autograph wall. If you guys want to submit your autographs, just email us, autographweekly@gmail.com. Send us a picture of your autograph to Autograph Weekly, sign your name, and tell us what link you want to promote. Sadly, we did have a few deaths this week. Alex Karras passed away. Beano Cook passed away. And very recently, Arlen Specter passed away. If you guys have any autographs of these people, please post them on our Facebook wall as a tribute. Also, guys, as we've stated in the past month or so, we're starting a podcast network dedicated to hobbies. So if you guys are pretty knowledgeable in a certain hobby other than autograph collecting, be trading cards or stamps or anything, and you're decent on the mic, contact us. We're looking to get hosts for new shows for our podcast network. Also, check out writeastar.com, my private address website. We've been getting some really great returns from Write a Star lately. Again, that's writeastar.com. Identify your autographs on Facebook. Been getting some great submissions on there too. Always fun to try to figure out whose autograph you have in your collection that you have no idea about. And sometimes it comes as a surprise. Actually, I posted one on there this week. It was listed as Dursey something, but it was actually Percy Faith, the famous orchestra leader. And he put out like over 50 or 60 albums. He's from Canada, and he passed away in 1975. So that was a very rare autograph find, and I had no idea who it was. And thanks to Identify Your Autographs, I did figure out who it was. And
make sure you check out StacyShaffer.com. A couple of new things I added on there this week. I've got the Voices of the Community page up on there now. Basically, it is blog entries written by other people in the community. There's three of them up there from this previous week. We've got Neri Lemus wrote an article, Alex Joritz and Ryan Patrick, so make sure you guys are checking that out. Also, started a community directory on my website as well, and the object is this, is to try to get one place where everybody can find each other. It's going to have YouTube channel links, Facebook page links, Twitter links. People will have websites. Their links are going to be on there. Email addresses, mailing addresses, and whatnot. So, and the other thing, make sure you find my Facebook fan page and like that. I am doing daily giveaways on there every single day. I'm going to do bonus giveaways, too, for every 50 likes, new likes I get on there. There'll be a bonus giveaway, and if I get 200 comments on the giveaway post that I do during the week, there'll be another giveaway as well. So
very cool. I really like that idea for the directory. It really brings the community together and gives people new people to subscribe to, because sometimes it's hard to find new collectors that do TTMing, and this is a good way of finding new people to watch. Also, guys, check out our Twitter page, twitter.com/autographweekly, and, of course, our Facebook page at facebook.com/autographweekly. And if you guys haven't done this already, we have a lot of listeners. If you haven't done this, we really urge you to go do it. Go to iTunes and find us on iTunes. Just type in Autograph Weekly. Our autograph will pop up. And rate and comment on iTunes, because it really helps us out on the iTunes ratings. All right, guys, I'm Zane Savage.
And I'm Stacia Schaefer. As always, classy and keep graphing.
And you take care, all of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.